Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Adad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. This is Vera and I'm here with
Natalie Torres-Adad.
Hey. Hi. So we want to talk about something that I think is something that's very close to our hearts because, I mean, if you guys have been listening to Natalie's podcast, she's always talked about taboos. But it's like there's an endless stream of taboos in different cultures. And we are familiar with the Latino culture. And Natalie, of course, from your husband's side, you're exposed to other cultures as well, that we kind of share similarities, right, in what we will or won't talk about. So that's what we want to dive into today. What are some of the things that in your family you just don't talk about, but then somebody decides to be brave enough to say it out loud, and all of a sudden you realize there's so many more people that are going through this in my family, but we just don't put it on the table. We don't share.
It feels like we can talk about this subject for days because in many cultures we have so many similarities. My husband's Arabic. I'm Central American Salvadorian, but we were both raised here. He was actually born here, but most of his family's from Jordan. And culturally, I think the number one, I think, thing that we all shy away from when it comes to talking about money is not necessarily how much you make, but how much are you spending that is towards investing. We don't talk about those things. Like, you know, it's funny how we might have get-togethers, or if something were to happen, emergencies. You know, we're like, are you okay? Do you need anything? That's usually a conversation we're okay to say, like, hey, if you need anything, let me know. You know, talking to our siblings. And yet we don't really sit down. I think my brother and I have really opened up and had now these conversations with my parents more, especially because we're both in the field. But for a very long time, and I think till today, it's really hard to say, hey, how much money are you putting aside for investing? Or how much money are you putting aside for an emergency? How much money are you spending from your emergency savings? Like my husband and I, we have an emergency savings, right? And we do tap into it because I'm not going to use the word, but yeah, I'm going to use the word. Shit happens all the time. So, you know, sometimes we don't have always a luxury of saying, oh yes, I have multiple accounts that I can, you know, do this for this particular fund. And I think it has a lot to do with so many factors like generational trauma. It comes from a place of scarcity, being both immigrants. My husband and I are technically first gen, right? I was raised here. I was less than a year old when my parents and everyone fled here from El Salvador. But I feel we both have that instilled from us, seeing our parents struggle as immigrants and seeing how they both came from a place where it's like war is real and it can change your whole world upside down and literally flee, right? And so I think some of that is unfortunately rooted in us, and it I'm still working on it, and it takes time. And so when we're talking about money, there's always this little voice of feeling, okay, be careful if something were to happen, the lack of, right, the scarcity behind it. And it's not an easy voice to stay quiet from, and so let alone to give it voice or give it like you said, be brave enough to talk about these are still scary for the person that's bringing it up and then having that conversation with others, right? I mean, I like to ask you the fat question first. It's like, what have you talked about recently that's made it really difficult for you to talk about money with your loved ones, whether it's your spouse or your parents, that was uncomfortable for you? Because I can think of a couple myself as well.
Saying no to somebody who asks for money, because it's a really awkward situation sometimes when you're in a position where it happens to, you know, family members all the time. They happen to own a business, or they're well established, and within the family there's those dynamics of like, oh well, she can afford it, you know. And so it's the person that they go to for money. And you know, I always have the conversation that you have every right to say no. but it's a little bit taboo because, well, no, what are they going to say? They're going to think that I'm this and that I'm not wanting to help. But if you also have a history of helping and suddenly you decide to say no, it almost works against you as well because you've always said yes. But, you know, I know there are some people that believe you should have a, you know, lend family members money fund. I'm torn between that because it's like, and we've talked about this in the past where it, like, I'm happy to get groceries and medication, whatever, directly. But yeah, just having the idea of like, why should the family be the kind of like the savings account for other people when we're, you know, you're trying to have the conversation about money and why you should save and they don't. Now, don't get me wrong. If somebody's in dire straits and they really need it, of course you give it to them. But usually you know what your family is like and you're like, but look at that phone and look at that car. I'm not trying to judge, but at the same time, like you didn't need to get that if you know you don't have the funds. And yeah. I think that is a really difficult thing. At least, again, I only speak from Latino side. To say no to somebody who asks you. And then the whole concept of like, well, how and when are you going to pay me back? And am I allowed to charge interest on it if you go beyond the year that you promised you were going to pay back? Should I have a contract in place? Like it gets into this whole situation where it is not something that's talked about or discussed in our families.
Absolutely. And I think you gave a good example of what we can do, not necessarily avoidance, but you're saying in place of giving someone directly cash, right? Because the dependency that comes with that. My family, one of my cousins had a great idea in the beginning of the pandemic. One of our cousins had gotten sick with COVID and really severe. He's one of our older cousins and has a family and he's just awesome. And he had to take some time off from work, obviously, because of it. And at the time it was, you were required to do 2 weeks of quarantine and he was actually really sick. And luckily he's okay now. But one of my cousins like, oh, let's all pitch in together and send him a gift card for groceries. And I was like, oh, I think that's a great idea, right? So when you felt like you just want to let them know, hey, we're thinking of you, here's something. And also we weren't making him feel like charity, you know, because it was family and we felt fortunate enough that we could do something like that. And I think sometimes we're afraid to think of other ways to give and for a lot of people, maybe cash is really difficult to, or their time or whatever it might be. And I think you just said it right, is learning to say no and being able to say no when it's time to say no. Because, yeah, maybe there was a time that this person was in a real jam and you had some money that you could do that. And I was always told, if you ever lend money to family and friends, think of it as a gift. You're lucky if you get it back, right?
Yeah.
And so you kind of go into that mentality. But if there is a situation where you're like, this is a one-time thing, or, you know, I know you're going through something now. And if they come back with it, that's when you really have to figure out what is your boundary, what is okay with you. Mm-hmm. Often too many times I've seen so many people, I've heard, I mean, horror stories, but a lot of them have told me, you know, but I've said, you know, I send money back to a different country or to my family. And I always feel bad saying no, because I know they're in worse situation, yet they're themselves extremely struggling here. And I tell them, what would it do for you not to send money back this month? What would it do for you to take 6 months from not doing that? And these aren't people that are like, oh, those are my parents. It's like, no, they're sending cousins to their cousins and other, you know, extended family. And they're like, I feel like I'd be a bad person. I go, no, you'd be taking care of yourself, put yourself in a better position to help them if you want to continue to help them after. But if you're struggling, then it's a cycle that'll never end, right? And so it's kind of,
yeah,
it's always there's always little gray areas, but
yeah,
I think you can get on with that.
That's a great example, because I think we forget that it is not our job to carry everyone, especially if we are not carrying. It's the whole oxygen mask, right? You put your mask on first before you help your child and others. So yeah, that's a really good point. I think another one is also, even at the reverse, asking you, like if you're in the position where you need to ask for money for something, it's a topical question right now. Like, let's say you got in a jam and, you know, God forbid you need an abortion and you don't have the money for it. And of course there are outlets. And it is a topic that is very rarely discussed because judgment comes down on you sometimes from the person that you least expected it. And
oh my God.
Yeah. And you, and potentially the person didn't have an emergency fund in the beginning, or I don't know, for whatever reason, you're like, listen, I'll pay you back. It's going to take me this time. But also being able to, I guess, have an open conversation with the family where you say you can ask for something and you feel that as well. Because I think there are a lot of situations, people have been placed in situations simply because you were afraid to ask for help. And it doesn't have to be financial. It could just be like, can I talk to you?
Or emotional support. Oh, it's, and the fact that you're already going through something so traumatic, right? You and I can talk about Roe versus Wade and everything that's going on right now in another episode for sure. But you brought back that memory, you know, in November when I had my DNC, which is, it is actually an actual abortion. It's actually an early form of abortion. And you know, I remember telling my mom that this is something I'm choosing because for me to wait around to naturally have a miscarriage was going to be a lot more painful and it'd take longer. And it was the healthiest thing for me. And so luckily she was emotionally supportive about that, of course, but it was also so nice that she was like, well, if you need money, let me know to pay for, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh no, we're good. You know, but it's like that's how my mom has always been. Do you need, you know, money? Do you need emotional support? Whatever, I'm here. And I think I'm grateful for that. But I thought that was even hard for me to say, like, hey, these are the things that I'm going to go through right now. I'm going through procedure. And I think about that all the time when people are taking not elective, but like things that they need for their health. And just to open up to other people and say, this is what I might be going through. And sometimes it's not money towards the actual procedure. It's the aftermath. Like if they need help getting groceries sent to them, or, you know, babysitting costs, or whatever it is that you probably would not ask other people for help. And so I think you can consider yourself a good friend, or just like, hey, what do you need? I'm here. Or, you know, just send them something. And one of my cousins, she's so sweet. She's like, hey, do you want me to send you some, you know, food tomorrow? You know, like, and just, you know, she didn't have to do that, but it's just like, oh, I felt that, not just that love because she's sending me something, not at all, but it was the love that she was asking. And sometimes it's so difficult when you're already going through an emotional or traumatic experience. And I think one other topic that is still considered, and I don't know, I want to call it a taboo anymore, but it's just, it's such a hard subject, is when it comes to being a caretaker for elderly parents. And what I mean by that is I have my mother-in-law is an elderly, and she's amazing, but she's definitely can't be left alone. There's just a lot of things that have been happening lately. And you know, everyone has kind of their own lives. And so sometimes I see them having, as a siblings, having conversations of like, okay, who's going to take her doctor? Who's going to, you know, stay with her on the weekends, or who's going to do all these changes. And recently on the show, This Is Us, literally that's part of what's going on. You know, they're like trying to figure out how are they going to have a normal life in different parts of the country and still take care of their mom. And I find that a difficult subject because it's not just the financial side of it, but it's the responsibility that comes with that. And so maybe one, and I see this happen all the time. It happened with my grandparents and my mom's siblings. It was like, you know, some of her siblings couldn't financially help, but they could be there physically helping with the day-to-day stuff. And there were some that were like, they're working so much, but they will gladly send money. Or, you know, it was like everyone had their way of being able to contribute, but it's still such a hard subject to say like, hey, this is what I'm comfortably doing. And usually it's not out of comfort. It's just like, this is something I got to do. Like if they're sick, we'll pay what we need to do. We'll use our credit cards. We'll dip into our savings. We'll figure out a way to do it. And I think that's one of the things sometimes it is a matters of the heart compared to thinking rationally. Mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine who just talked about a lost a parent, and she paid so much money for this treatment for her mom. And I'm so grateful she did, because who knows how many days she bought for her because she was going through cancer. But that's something that she made that decision for herself. And in the long run, she's like me, like, oh, I don't know if, you know, financially this is actually a good idea, but I'm like, I love the way she said it. If it's going to buy her a few more days, it's totally worth it, no matter how much money it is. Right. And I'm like, and I thought the same way. I'm like, I get it. And the other thing, I would have been like, maybe hold off on that. But so I think it's a hard subject to talk about, because unless you're going through it or see someone going through that, you kind of don't understand how that conversation should go. And you also don't want to overstep, right? Thinking like, oh, I can take care of, or make the other person feel like you can't take care of them. How can you can't take care of yourself, let alone take care of somebody else, right?
Especially the person who needs the taking care of. I think we forget, we only think about how we feel, but I constantly think about my, whether it's a family member or a friend's mom who knows they've maybe been a homemaker their whole life and they are receiving Social Security and they're, you know, they have their Medi-Cal, Medicare, all of that, but they know that they live in the household and they're kind of at the mercy of their kids or whoever's taking care of them. And it's also taboo for them to say, I am stressed out every single day because I know that I am dependent on someone else, not myself. And no one talks about that. And when you do talk about it, I've been in the room where the person just breaks down and feels so lonely and scared and alone and burdensome to the people where the people that are taking care of them are like, what are you talking about? It's like a pleasure to have you here, but they don't talk to each other. So they don't know that the other people, they don't know the frustration of the person being taken care of. And they don't also realize the happiness that they feel to have the grandmother in the home or, you know, whatever the relative might be. And, but there's no conversation there.
You don't want to deny that give or take relationship. Oftentimes I know in cultures, especially our culture, that's kind of like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Or I don't want to be a burden. Or, you know, you often hear that, or especially like if they give you a gift or, you know, whatever it might be. And you're taking away that pleasure that comes from being able, like, no, I'm here for you because you've been there for me so many times, whether it's financially or emotionally. And I think we need to rewire and change to say, don't do that because you're taking away part of that joy that comes from that. And the frustration that comes, like you just said, of feeling like because you're taught to depend on yourself and be independent. And especially just having Doc G just talking about, you know, what elderly people say in the hospice and, you know, like what they wish they would have done and what they wish younger people knew. And so they try to tell them, like, you know, live your best life and do all the things that you need to do. So I think it's kind of a balancing act that comes with that. And you just said being able to communicate it and eventually just kind of get past the like scared part or the, you know, being able to use that voice and say, you know what, this is how I'm feeling. I'm not sure if this is accurate or, you know, if it's going to make you feel bad, but this is how I'm currently feeling at this moment.
Yep, yeah, exactly. So we'll leave you guys with that. Communicate. I mean, communication is awkward anyway, so just do it. Know that it's going to be weird and awkward.
Everybody's in trouble, exactly. And hopefully we can give you some more tips along the way to be like, how can we start those conversations? Because the longer we just don't want to be left alone and we don't want to be struggling financially either. So kind of figure that out.
Yep. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. As you know, if you want to learn more, make sure to click that subscribe button so you can get notified of new episodes. Otherwise, you can find us on social media at Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.